I'm a squonk believer.
Fully believe that the squonk exists. I mean, there are definitely species of animal that we don't know exist.
I couldn't leave her if I tried. Then I saw the squonk. Bum, 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 bum. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of squonk in my bag.
Why are we not professional singers?
Do you love a good ghost story? Tales of the paranormal and sightings of the unexplained? If so, the Paranormal Exposed podcast is right up your alley. Join me every Wednesday as I guide you through a new spooky episode. Listen in as I give you the spooky stories and the facts to back them up, or poke a few holes in their stories. Whether you are a skeptic or a believer, this is a great way to explore and to expose the paranormal.
What's up, witches? Hi, I'm Claudia.
And I'm Jess.
And welcome
to True Crime Coven.
Hi, Jess.
Hey, Claudia, you all right?
Yeah, you recovered from your busy week?
No, because it's still just been really, really busy. I'm going to move my keyboard because I feel like Orla is going to bash the space bar, which will stop the recording and won't be good for anyone. Yeah. But no, it's still just been really busy. I've got an exam in 3 weeks. Ooh. Well, I've got 2 exams and they've decided to put one on a Wednesday, one on the Thursday. So we don't have any time to revise in between.
But sometimes it's nice to get it out of the way, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be nicer if there was some link between the 2 exams, but they're completely different.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, my reoccurring nightmare is that I haven't studied for my exams.
Do you have an exam coming up?
No, but that's my reoccurring nightmare. But last night it evolved to the point where I got my results.
Yeah? How were the results? Yeah,
they were all right.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember in my dream thinking these weren't as good as my actual GCSEs.
My reoccurring nightmare is being on a naked on a toilet for some reason, and then all the walls falling down, and me being in public, sat on a toilet naked.
I mean, anyone who interprets dreams, please let us know. I know mine's anxiety related. Yours sounds like you don't want people to see the true you or something.
Maybe. Oh, hi, Orla. Orla's with us today. She's currently attached to my face.
And I've also got my new cat with me. Oh, nope, he's moved.
Oh, he's ran away.
Behind. Yeah, so his name's Bear. He's black and white. Maybe I'll post a picture on the socials. But he's very... He's not nervous of humans, but he's nervous of the environment and of Karen. Purely because he had a home for 7 years and then... the relationship broke down and she didn't take him with her, and he had a sister for 7 years. She got adopted. So he's had a lot of upheaval. He's gone from 7 years in one house with 2 owners to going to his sister leaving, and then him going to a cattery, and then going to a foster home, and then coming to me. So understandably, he's a bit like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But he's doing all right. He just likes to hide behind the litter tray, which is nicely in my room for now, which we love. And there's litter all over my floor, so I need to sweep.
You okay, Order Grace? Yeah? Oh, that was a solid nod then.
That was a solid nod. Right, yeah. So I think with that, she's saying, let's get on with it, girls.
Yeah, you ready for some ghost stories? That was a nod and a shake, but we'll go with the first answer.
Well, luckily, she ain't the boss of us.
Yeah, true. I mean, you can speak for yourself, but she is definitely the boss of me. Aren't you? You're like a little dictator. What do you want? Right, I'm going to read this ghost story and you're going to sit quietly.
Sorry, whenever anyone says dictator, I always think of cock potato.
Is that funny?
I like the way she's laughing like she can't hear it.
Yeah, she just laughs when anyone ever... whenever anyone else
laughs.
She's
such a sheep. What a sheep.
Oh my God. Also, the fact that I couldn't get my words out then, this doesn't bode well for this storytelling, but...
Well, you know.
Hey, we push through. So today I have had to dive into Reddit for ghost stories, but they are good ones. So it was a success story. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, there you go, there you go. Okay, and the first one is from someone whose user name is Dewbread4036.
Dewbread. Okay, cool.
As in, like, it's due tomorrow.
Oh, Dewbread. Okay.
Yeah. And they have titled it Growing Up in Scotland.
Oh.
Okay. Are you ready? I just need to scroll. Sorry.
Ready as I'll ever be.
Fair. I grew up in a large old house in rural Scotland during the 1980s. The house had a long, steep footpath from the gate to the house, up a slope, which was too steep for a car. We used to have milk delivered between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. by the local milkman, but after a while they stopped delivering to the doorstep, choosing to drop the bottles at the bottom of the gate. My mum asked why, and the milkman said that the lad who delivered was too scared of the gardener. We were confused as we didn't have a gardener, but my mum didn't push back or question it and simply put it down to the milkman's delivery boy being lazy and him not wanting to go up the steep hill. A few months went past and my brothers had friends over to play. His friend told my mum that Sandy's grandpa is in the front garden. He's just standing there with his fork and not saying anything. My mum wondered who it was, so she walked around the house and saw nothing. Then she asked him what he looked like, and he gave a description of a man with a white beard, tweed bonnet, and worn tweed clothing and trousers held up by a tied string. Mum thought it sounded like the village alcoholic who did odd jobs known as Billy. Everyone knew Billy, and my brother's friend said, no, Billy doesn't have a beard. My mum said, of course he doesn't, so it must have been someone else. Other than the beard, this was a good description of Billy. So my mum thought nothing more. About 6 months later, we had swapped to a new dairy delivering to us from a different town 10 miles away because mum was fed up with collecting milk from the gate. After a few weeks, there was a smashed milk bottle on the doorstep, and then they stopped delivering, the same as before. My mum phoned up to speak to them, and they said they'd speak to the lad doing the run, who was 18 years old. He told them he was scared by the old man gardening, and he was sorry for smashing the bottle, but he had startled him by standing over him. This time, my mum asked what he looked like, and he had the same description as my brother's friend. An old man with a beard, wearing a cap and old tweeds. There are, of course, a lot of plausible explanations, but it is one thing I can't explain, because the milkmen wouldn't have known each other, and my brother's friend, who was about 10, wouldn't have known the milkmen either. There were no other incidents in the 15 years that we lived there after that. My dad was the local doctor and an ex-military man, being very much the scientist, even set up little trigger traps with fishing lines and tent pegs to see if they would be disturbed by someone passing through the garden, but they were never triggered. No idea if it's an actual old man who gardened or whatever. I'm not religious and I do not believe in fairies, but this is the closest I've come.
Okay. With this, At first I was definitely thinking like, oh my God, what if it is just like a person? That's kind of scarier in some ways because obviously it's, well, first of all, like, there's the
who's
whole
breaking
do ghosts
into
exist.
Their house? Yeah.
Yeah. And also if ghosts do exist, how much harm can they do? Whereas obviously a human breaking into their land can do whatever to the people living there.
Yeah.
But then when she said about like the trip wires and that, which like I kind of love, it's very, I don't know, it's just, it talks to something in my childhood, speaks to something, there we go. yeah, I definitely, yeah, I mean, if they weren't tripped, then what is it? Someone who's just very aware and perhaps even, I mean, they could have watched the dad set them up, that's the other thing.
Yeah, that's true, so they could have known where they were.
Yeah.
But the fact that it managed to scare off, like, two milkmen and young boys, it almost sounds to me as well that they were targeting young lads. Or whatever it was.
Maybe they were almost like protecting the property.
Maybe. Yeah, like
because
if
they
was
never
a
showed
spirit,
themselves to the family.
Yeah.
And they were just...
They thought it was like an intruder.
Yeah, maybe they were like an old groundskeeper or old gardener who sort of then just saw this family as like their new employers. And so they were protecting them, in which case that's really sweet.
Yeah, that is quite sweet. But I quite liked that story.
Yeah, I like that.
Are you ready to move on to your cryptid filling?
Yes.
You're going to be very excited because by your request, I have looked into the squonk.
Yeah, squonk, baby.
So obviously you know what the squonk is.
I know what the squonk is.
And do you know what? A few other people might know what the squonk is because it is actually written a lot about in like pop culture, and there's actually been some songs after it as well, which I didn't even realise.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I might have to listen to those songs. And if I find them, I will share.
Of course.
And it actually has its own festival in August called Squonkapalooza.
I've heard about this from last podcast on the left, yeah.
Yeah, which... is an amazing name for a festival, regardless of what it is for.
Yeah, like, I want to go.
The fact that it's a palooza.
Yeah, I've never been to a palooza.
No, me neither. But I want
to. I if am a palooza, though.
If we're going to go to a palooza, I feel like it needs to be this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know what a squonk or the squonk is... So they originate in the Hemlock Forest in northern Pennsylvania in the US.
Isn't Hemlock quite a spiritual herb as well, though?
Yeah, I think so.
Place?
Well, place and herb.
Well, it's a plant or herb, isn't it, hemlock? It's a plant and it's poisonous. Well, you can get poison hemlock.
The more you know, eh? So it is described as having misfitting skin, which is covered in warts and moles, which causes the squonk to always be unhappy. And apparently it just walks around crying because it's so ashamed of its own appearance.
I can really relate.
Sad. Yeah, I mean, can definitely relate, but, that's really sad. In more recent, like, descriptions of how the squonk looks, I think people have started getting a bit, like, over-exaggerating it, because I've also seen a description. So that was the original description, but I've also seen descriptions where they say it has cauliflowered ears covered in waxen hair with yellow tusks and four legs.
Yeah, no, I've never seen that. I more kind of see it as, like, a slug slash... flaccid penis type.
Yeah, it's some thing. Of the pictures, it's actually quite cute. Like, it's ugly but cute ugly.
There's a lot of things that are cute ugly, aren't there?
Yeah,
like punks me. Are kind of ugly.
Yeah, you're just cute aren't you? Yeah. But I did find a great picture of it, so I will send it to you, Claudia, but the picture of it's got a cute little peachy bum.
Oh,
and you know how much we love
man.
A peachy bum on this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably got a better bum than me. So. Notoriously kind of flat ass.
So just a little bit about, so there's not, of everything that I read, there's a lot to like support the squonk, and there's not a lot to disprove it, but I think it's just so harmless and like just a little bit of nothing that no one's dead set on proving that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and also I mean? I think it's like people go on about like the Mothman not existing because it's kind of so out there that you've got a man like a 6-foot moth man creature that flies around. Like, when you're up in the air, so many people can obviously see you that it's easier for people to be like, well, obviously that didn't happen. But when you're a little squonk-like creature that's just like a little flaccid penis,
just like squonking
slugging around, squonking around. On the floor.
That's why I might start describing the way I move. I'm just squonking around. Just walking from place to place crying.
Yeah, basically. Like, yeah. If, like, first of all, not many people can see you all at once if you're down on the floor. And also, it's not that ridiculous. I mean, I suppose it is a bit ridiculous having something walk around crying because... but it's not it's not a 6-foot Mothman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, it does also mostly move around at night as well because it doesn't want to come
like
out.
Me.
Yeah. Because it doesn't want to come out and show its face, so it will come out at night. Apparently, even if it's like quite moonlit, it will still try and avoid going in like moonlit places as it doesn't want to catch a glimpse of its own reflection.
And I was like, people need to stop buying it mirrors then, really, don't they?
I know. So like... it was just making me really sad. But it is thought that the tales originated from like lumberjack tales, and that they were kind of designed to be more comical than frightening. So you know how sometimes we say that you can see how this cryptid was to warn people. And I think this is kind of more of a we're bored, let's tell funny tales kind of thing.
Yeah.
So apparently
let's tell this to the new guy.
Yeah, literally. So that is
watch me be the new guy and 100% believe.
And they would go to like they would like travel round different camps quite a lot apparently, and I do think it was, as you said, a little bit of a let's play a prank on the new guy and see if he believes.
Yeah, go buy tartan paint.
Yeah.
And stuff.
So yeah, I think that's how it started. But the first actual written word about the squonk was by someone called William T. Cox. So in,
of course,
yeah, Cox is in COX. Just to confirm.
Still pronounced like cock.
So in 1910, he wrote a book called Fearsome Creatures in the Lumber Woods. And I think he was like a conservationist by background. So he was working in the woods quite a lot. Was something to do with forestry.
Okay.
Something. But anyway.
So, you know, he was up close and personal with Squonky Boy.
All the time. He actually even ended up writing a book that I think like the Boy Scouts use or something. I don't know. Okay. I just kind of skim read that and I was like, okay, that's not relevant.
I know you mean like a book that's actually useful, but in my head it's just like beware of the squonk.
By book I mean wooden sign. So yeah, he wrote Fearsome Creatures of the Lumber Woods, and he was the person who came up with the original description of the squonk. I don't know if he ever actually says that he saw one, but okay. He does write about someone called J.P. Wentling, I think that's okay. How I pronounce it, who apparently did have a sighting, and he managed to coax one into a bag. But then when he got home, he found that the bag was empty. It was just like filled with water. So this is how they realized that if you're like, they're not too hard to track and find a squonk if you want to, but they're hard to capture because if it's scared, apparently it dissolves itself into tears.
Oh,
I know. And I'm like, the more I know about this creature, the more I'm like, oh, honey, come on.
Are you happy I made you research this creature, though?
Yes, I love it. I love it. My favourite thing, although I have already mentioned it, but my absolute favourite thing about it is that no one, absolutely nowhere, was any accounts of anyone trying to disprove this. Everyone is just happy to let it exist.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I mean, it's already so sad that I feel like no one's going to try and make it sadder.
Yeah. And believe it or not, William T. Cox's book, not the only one written about it.
Well, so, I can believe that, of course.
Yeah.
So if I had the time.
Yeah. In 1939, Henry H. Tyron also wrote a book called Fearsome Critters.
Is he a critter? I feel like he's not. I feel like critter isn't the right word for a squonk, but go on.
Fearsome?
Yeah. What's his power? Dissolving into tears. Same.
Makes you cry so off. Sad for it that you physically cannot do anything to it because you're so sad. So he was a little bit more mean about the squonk. So he was also did something with the forestry service, but he was the one who said that the squonk only lived in the hemlock forests. He also thought that they used to live in the high plains, which is why they kind of weren't seen until like the 1900s. So he thinks that they used to live in the high plains, but they migrated to the swampy countryside. I can't remember why. I didn't write that down. That would have been good. Maybe he didn't know why either, but he just guessed it. So that's what he thought. But he also thought that squonks had webbed toes, but only on their left front foot, which caused it to swim in circles forever. And he also thought that the squonk had too low of a mental ability to realise that it was drowning. So apparently there's lots of them drowned in like lakes where they live. And that's why he thinks that there's so many fossils at the bottom of the lakes, because they're all dead squonks who'd drowned because they can only swim in circles.
I know.
But yeah, everything I kept reading about this, I was like, oh my god, they're so sweet, but they're also the other thing I did find out about them, which was quite funny, is they do have a I don't want to say someone's like done some scientific research in it, but someone has given them like a Latin, you know how like everyone has like a Latin name for things.
Yeah.
They do have a Latin name which literally translates to like dissolving tears or something. I didn't write it down for some reason because I was like, I can't pronounce that. But also the science factual bit that I was reading, it was like,
it is Lacrima Corpus Dissolvens.
Yeah, which I think literally translate to like dissolvable tears or something.
Well, yeah, because lacrima is like it's tears, and then obviously dissolvens. So
and but in this bit it did also say that I don't know why, but I thought I'd include this. Its method of reproduction is binary fission, and it's an asexual creature. So
I've forgotten what binary fission is.
I was about to say,
it's like just splitting, isn't it?
Yeah, it just splits. So the DNA just divides into two and then splits into a whole new body.
I mean, you can't really say someone crying is consenting, can you?
Yeah. And also,
I feel like if someone's crying, I'm going to say they're saying no.
Yeah. It does explain how they continue to exist. Do you know what I mean? If there's just one squonk who dissolves into tears every time it's scared, then it ain't going to be a long life.
So, no.
Does need one way of reproducing. So, good development. Paula's finally fallen asleep, but she keeps kicking me in her sleep. She's like running in her sleep like a dog.
What if you put her on the bed? Would she wake up?
Maybe. I'll finish this bit because I've got one more account for you.
Okay.
So, someone else has claimed to see a squonk, and that is Paul Bunyan. He was again in the wood with some other men, and one of them could hear a wailing noise. So one of them went to find out what was making the noise, and he was actually able to capture a squonk in a bag. So he was like really excited, went to take it back to show the other men, and the same thing happened to him that had happened to Wendling, and when he opened the bag, it dissolved into nothing but salt water and bubbles.
Oh, I bet his mates were like, yeah, good bubbles, mate.
Yeah, don't believe you. But yeah, that's all I have of the squonk. There's not actually a lot on the squonk. It's more just descriptions and a couple of stories, because there's no argument to whether it exists or not. Everyone is just like, yeah.
I'm a squonk believer.
Fully believe that the squonk exists. I mean, there are definitely species of animal that we don't know exist.
I couldn't leave her if I tried. Then I saw the squonk. Bum, 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 bum. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of squonk in my bed.
Cried itself into death.
I've got water. Ooh, I'm a believer. I couldn't leave a squonk alone if I tried.
Why are we not professional singers?
I don't know.
I hope that entire thing makes the cut.
I hope so as well. Also, I love where I sit and record, because even though I am just sat on my bed, one of my neighbours has like the best setup for birds ever, and I'm just watching a little finch eat. Aww. And then there's occasionally a wood pigeon that comes along.
Cute.
Yeah, this is definitely where Karen once decimated a nest in a week. But she's now got bells, so she can't do that.
Oh,
and I've also told
her.
That particular neighbour to spray her with water if she sees her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's, you know, it's really bad for the bird population. And they've obviously got the loveliest setup.
Oh, that's nice.
And I'm very jealous of their garden. And if you're listening to this, my elderly neighbours, just know.
Just know I love it.
I love your garden.
Aw, that's cute.
It's honestly really nice.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on the squonk? Any questions? Not that I have any other answers, but...
No, I just absolutely love this creature. And I would say they're almost level with Mothman.
Oh, wait till I show you this perky bum picture. I think they might overtake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is there much squonk merch out there, though? Well, there must be. Squonkapalooza.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere that there was, like, a coffee brand for the squonk.
Oh, yeah, there's a coffee brand for Mothman as well that they've done with the last podcast on the left as well.
Oh,
I'm sure that was cool.
Cool,
you know.
That is cool. Do you want to move on to our final bread? I know this has been a very quick episode today, but it wasn't a long cryptid filling, I'm afraid.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get some bread in us.
Let's get some bread. So our last story comes from Bratty Brat, was their name on Reddit, and they have titled it Strange But Not Terrifying Experience at Desert Hot Springs.
Okay.
So, I stayed at a posh mineral hot springs called Two Bunch Palms last week to celebrate my birthday. I had a standalone villa to myself, and there are no other rooms in the building. It's just this little living space all by itself. The interior consisted of a bathroom, bedroom, and living area. It was all open without any doors in between them. The first three nights there were lovely and I slept really well. The last night, I started feeling just a little bit weird, like something was watching me. It lasted for about an hour and finally I went to bed. I normally wear a sleep mask at night because I often get insomnia, and that way if I wake up and it's still dark, I therefore go back to sleep easier. I woke up in the middle of the night, as I often do, but again, I felt uncomfortable, like something or someone was watching me. Did you just hear
that?
That was all a snorting. In her sleep.
Aww.
That was cute. Aww. Feel free to keep that one in, Simon. I've lost my arm. Oh, there I am. I took off the mask and saw that the lamp in the living area was flickering on and off. I had definitely turned it off before going to bed, so I turned it off and felt a little freaked out, but I decided I was too tired to really care, so I went back to bed. Shortly after, I heard knocking coming from the corner where the lamp was. I decided it must have been something blowing in the wind, so I decided to go back to sleep. When I got up in the morning, I went about getting packed up ready to go. But after a bit, the knocking started again in the same corner of the room where the lamp was. I went outside and walked all the way around the villa, checking for anything that could have made the knocking sound. I found nothing that could make the noise, no trees or any other items that could be gently, rhythmically being hit against the side of the building. There was no mechanical stuff, nothing. As I said, it was a standalone one-bedroom villa without any other rooms attached, so I could not explain this knocking sound. I returned to the room and the intermittent knocking continued. I continued to have a weird feeling of being watched, but I decided I was being silly and I checked out. I mean, it's a posh, new-ish place, not some old crusty hotel. When I got home after the drive, I googled the place and found a couple of employees who'd reported ghost stories, as well as found out that the place was a favourite of Al Capone's. I'm not sure what to make of it, but my gut tells me something was off, and I was right to feel like I was being watched. I don't know what it was, and this is not a dramatic story or very scary, but a very real one.
But that's the thing, I think a lot of the real experiences aren't that dramatic, I think.
No, I think people get worried because they're not like horror film. But
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's so, even the ones that are based on a true story, they're so emphasized and exaggerated.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like a lot of things that we experience are, you know, quote unquote mundane.
Mm.
But that's the truth that's of it. And you're only there for a short amount of time. You know, if you were living there, you might have experienced more.
Yeah.
I suppose my only thing, my only skeptic, I was going to say cryptic, my only skeptic point would be there could be like a pipe in the wall.
Yeah.
Like a radiator type pipe, like a water pipe that's just sort of dunk, dunk, dunk.
Yeah. I do feel like gut feeling is a big thing,
but
though,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think a gut feeling, you know, I always think trust your gut. And if it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel right. And based.
And that's not
that,
just on ghosts, that's on anything in life.
Oh, yeah. And on that, and then some of the employees reporting things, you know, that adds another layer to it.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to know what the employees said. I want to know what this place is so we can see what the employees said. I do think hotels are really scary places because...
Even new ones.
So many people come and go. And when somewhere's, you know, it's so anonymous.
Yeah.
But I do also love a hotel, so I don't want to get too, you know...
Too into it. Yeah.
Yeah, in a very adult way. I love a hotel and the fact that I'm not responsible for this place, even though I am, and I would never trash it.
Oh, God, I would never trash it, but... Yeah, you know you can sleep in a clean bed and you haven't had to wash the sheets.
Yeah, it's that sort of stuff.
It's, yeah. Like,
and just the fact that I'm normally in a hotel because I'm doing something fun.
Yeah.
They've got connotations in my head.
Yeah, my next hotel... stay is going to be in Tenerife.
Hey, and mine's going to be in Portugal.
Oh, nice. When are you going to Portugal?
11th of April.
Oh, nice. I'm going on the 22nd. So, good job. We're breaking for April.
And that is to remind everyone, we are taking our break in April. So this is our first season done and dusted. Well, I suppose it's not our first season, but you know what I mean. However,
our first official season.
However, keep eyes peeled for other things that might be out in April. I'm not promising anything. but other than that, guys, during April, look after yourselves. It will be my birthday, so, you know, just... I can just hear all your birthday wishes just running at me right now. But yeah, look after yourselves, guys. Stay safe. And of course...
Stay spooky.
See you in May. Hey guys, if you have a ghost story or a case suggestion, please email us truecrimecovenpod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter @truecrimecoven or on Instagram and Facebook where we are @truecrimecovenpod.
Also, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could rate us wherever you're listening to this right now, be it Spotify, Apple Music, or if you're on YouTube, give us a little thumbs up, click that bell, get notifications every time we post.
Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from.
Make these two witches smile.
Thanks, witches. Sorry, Simon.